You're listening to The Gentleman's Guide to Midnight Cinema.
GGTMC listeners, this is Rupert. This new interview is one I've been meaning to do for a long time, since I first interviewed Zach Carlson last year, and he talked about this gentleman. His name is Paul Malick. He's also known as Dormarth, and he has a very cool zine that everyone should check out. The email to contact him at is dormarthshouseofhorror@hotmail.com. That's DORMARTHS_HouseOfHorror1@hotmail.com. Really cool guy. I'm really glad I got a chance to talk to him. He has a fantastic VHS collection, as Zach mentioned in the interview when I spoke to him. And Paul takes me on a nice tour of all the different sections he has, and they're a lot of fun. A lot of cool movies mentioned, many I'd never seen or heard of myself. So hopefully you all get as much of a kick out of this as I did talking to Paul.
So when did you first start collecting VHS?
I first started probably about when I was a senior in high school, about 1998, 1999. I didn't really start collecting. I just started getting a few. Back then, my friends and I were in a metal band, and like pretty much all we did have practice, play a show every once in a while, and then just every weekend after practice we just spend the night at our friend and singer's house and rent horror movies and just watch them and like make a shitload of food and
nice.
Just nasty like super nachos and stuff and just watch movies and eat food. And yeah, to us it was like that was our way of like being like crazy. It was like, oh my god, we're in a metal band, we're watching these nasty movies while everyone else is out getting in trouble. Like, we were just in at home doing that. So.
That's awesome, man. Do you remember the do you remember the first couple VHS that you bought, or was it you started renting first? And
well, I got Dawn of the Dead from my dad for Christmas, and I had the Evil Dead trilogy, stuff like that. But like when I first decided, like, hey, I'm really into this, I'm gonna start collecting. The first ones I bought were Rituals, which is a Hal Holbrook like Deliverance ripoff movie.
Yeah, that's a good flip.
And then I got The Pit, which is this really awesome zombie movie. I got those in Centralia, Washington, at this place called Sight and Sound. They used to have tons of movies and records, and they had a whole bunch of like car audio equipment, and they started selling off some of their inventory, and I found those, and like to this day, like I'm always like, I remember when I first got those two. It's really awesome.
Oh, that's super cool. The Pit is a fantastic, fun movie. I love that movie.
Yeah, I really wish I had the cover where it had the 3D image actually coming out with like the blinking eyes.
I used to miss those. I remember from my days going through videos. I worked at video stores for a long time, but I'd go into a lot of them, and they always had this movie Metamorphosis, which I bet you have.
Yeah.
Which has got the glowing eye, you know, cover, which I always thought was great.
That's awesome. Yeah, I don't think I've seen that cover. I didn't even know it did that. I remember.
Maybe I'm mistaken, but I could have sworn it was Metamorphosis. Maybe I'm wrong.
It probably was. There's a lot out there that have alternate covers that I haven't even seen. So
that's cool. How many tapes do you think you have now?
I actually keep track because every once I hit 1,000, I had a big movie party, and then I was like, hey, this was fun. So every time I get 250 more, I have another movie party.
Oh, that's awesome.
And so right now I'm actually at 2,515.
That's great.
I'm actually working on flyers for another movie party coming up. So.
Oh, that's so cool. And so you aren't having any trouble finding VHS anymore, right? I mean, is it still pretty...
No, it's funny. Like, every year, I guess it's about a year and a couple months, I get, like, 250 more. So pretty much every year I have one of these parties.
Nice.
And every year I'm like, oh, guys, it's probably going to be a while till we have another one of these, you know, like... it's harder to find used VHS, and then every year I somehow do it.
So. Well, I salute you, sir, because the collector in me knows exactly where you're at, and I totally, I love that stuff. How much room does it take up in your house, and where is all the stuff, the tapes?
Well, actually, my whole upstairs, it's an old house from 1930s, so it has an attic. It's a completed attic, but it's like, you know, one of those old school attics where, like, it curves upward, so you can only walk in the middle, and then you have to duck, like, when you get on the sides.
Gotcha. So, I think you posted pictures somewhere, or maybe I saw them on your Facebook or something.
Yeah, on my Facebook. There's some pictures. Yeah. Feel free to scan those or
That's
whatever.
Cool.
But, yeah, the whole attic pretty much is filled up. I have shelves that wrap around, like, every wall. In fact, everyone asked me, like, dude, what are you going to do when you run out of room? And I'm like, I don't want to talk about that. That's a little too depressing.
No, I mean, are you close to running out of room?
I wrapped up around all the walls, but I just recently, the place where I actually rented all those movies in high school, Tumwater Video, which has been there for like 25 years. The owners now have been there for 19 years. They're going out of business, unfortunately, so I started buying some of their stuff, and they have these huge two-sided movie shelves, and so I bought two of those, and so, like, that definitely gives me a little more space to keep collecting.
Nice. Very cool. I was going to say, Zach had said that you have a bunch of sections, you know, for each movie. Do you do that? They're all organized into sections?
Yeah, like subsections and everything. I can't take all the credit because Scarecrow Video was the first place that I, like, saw that, and I'm just like, oh, I should do that too. But yeah, I guess my favorite thing is not really because it's a section, but because of where it is up here. Up in the attic, it used to be like two rooms somehow. And so, like, off of one of the rooms is this little closet, and it doesn't have a door, and so I call that the slasher closet because, like, all my slasher movies fit in there. They've recently spilled out into the other room because I've gotten too many, but...
Wow.
So, yeah, there's the slasher closet, and then I'll just walk around and kind of go through them.
Yeah, I'd love to have some of these titles.
Yeah, I have, well, in the slasher, there's, like, sub-genres. There's the power tool one, camping one, Christian death, which is about, like, pretty much like Christians in the movie going crazy and killing people, or, like, mad priests, sorority prep school, killer collars, stuff about...
Wait, killer what?
Killer collars. Like, stuff about people on the phone, like...
Oh, killer callers, that's awesome.
I got pre-Halloween holiday slashers.
Wow.
And over here, I got a whole bunch of TV shows, killer animals.
Love it.
Outer space horror. And then I got a section about, like, clowns, and I just call it, Why You Clownin' Foo?
That's great. I love that, man. That's awesome.
H.P. Lovecraft. Stuart Gordon, a big zombie section, a pre-sellout Wes Craven section.
Pre-sellout Wes Craven?
Yeah.
Wait, what's the sellout movie?
Pretty much Scream and Beyond.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
So Deadly Blessing in there, that's good stuff.
What was that?
Deadly Blessing.
Oh yeah, that's in here.
Love that.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. Keep going, I love this stuff.
Oh yeah, I'm slowly wrapping around this place. Full Moon Worth Buying.
Oh, so that's the Charles Band movies that are open?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Which is funny because, like, I had a few, and then, like, people get me some on my birthday, which weren't really worth buying, but I'm like, fucking, I'm not going to get rid of this shit, so it's in here, too.
So you just have a different section?
Yeah.
That's great.
So, Little Bitches. I have, like, Alice Sweet Alice, Children, Girly, a Bad Seed. And then that movie Hard Candy, I was like, does Hard Candy go in Little Bitches or does it go in the torture section? So I just rotated between the two pretty much.
So you move some around sometimes? It's funny.
Yeah.
That's great. That is great.
I have a whole bunch of Mondo movies / documentaries.
Very cool.
Torture, medical horror, appliances. Like The Lift, which is about a killer elevator.
What else is in appliances? I'm curious.
TerraVision, Night Vision, Pulse, which is Joey Lawrence's first movie. That dude from Blossom who all the girls were crazy over.
Yeah, yeah. No, my wife and I always say whoa a lot. And just as to him.
Then not only do I have The Refrigerator, but I have Attack of the Killer Refrigerator, which is a different movie.
Ooh, I've never heard of that one. See, this is great.
It's a
great stuff.
Yeah, it's a shot-on-video movie. It's on... I'm trying to find the label that it's on. I can't even find the label that it's on, but... yeah, I heard about that from this guy online I've been chatting about movies with, because he was like, oh, do you have that? Like, trying to one-up me. I'm like... I thought he was talking about The Refrigerator. I was like, oh, yeah, I got that. And then he's like, oh, no, it's actually this. Then I recently found it in Eastern Washington for a dollar.
Oh, awesome.
They're selling off all their VHS, and they were all a dollar. And I was like, I shit my pants. Like, I don't know how I even found that place. Like, yeah, the corner of my eye, my collector's, like, just intrigued for that. Like, just spotted it.
That's awesome, dude.
Okay, so let me see what else I got. I got a big section of the occult and supernatural that obviously takes up a lot of room.
Yeah.
And then within those, I have a subsection of Philippine and Indonesia horror, because I really love Philippine. Anything that comes from the Philippines is pretty much gold.
What are some of your favorites? I know this is maybe off the cuff, but what are some of your favorite Philippine horror that's in there?
Definitely Black Magic Terror.
Wow,
Killing of Satan.
I've never seen either of those. I gotta check those out.
Yeah, it's awesome. The Queen of Black Magic is pretty good. I think that actually came out on DVD.
Nice.
So then I have Exorcism. I got obviously The Exorcist and then a whole bunch of ripoffs. Then Witch Find. I don't know where I heard that, but it's an actual term for like the Witch Finder General movies.
Oh, wow.
I have a section called Westerns. There's a whole bunch of, not a whole bunch, but there's a handful of, like, Western, like, ghost movies.
Cool.
And Nunsploitation is in here.
Yes.
Okay, on to the next room. I have a big section on vampires and Dracula.
Nice.
With a little subsection called Elizabeth Bathory / Carmilla / Lesbian Vampires. They made a whole bunch of lesbian ones.
Yeah.
And then I have a big sci-fi section. And then I have one called subsection called Space Shit. There's a lot of space things going on.
What kind of movies go in space shit?
Just pretty much anything. Killers from space, invaders from Mars.
Gotcha.
Then robots and cyborgs.
Yeah.
Obviously, post-apocalyptic movies, which I like to also call industrial sci-fi movies.
That's cool. Wait, back up one second. I love doing this. What's the killer robot? What are some of your favorite killer robot movies? I'm a big fan of those.
I actually have a two-pack, which I'm trying to, where's the label? Scimitar put out this two-pack, and it has War of the Robots and Roboman. And Roboman is super awesome.
I don't know if I've seen it. Now, is that... Who did that? Who directed that? Is that,
I don't even think it says...
Okay, that's...
Yeah, it doesn't even say.
Nice.
Yeah, it's Roboman. Like, you know, some of those companies are like, whatever.
We don't even...
Mind. We don't give a shit.
Nobody cares.
For the most part.
That's hilarious. They don't even bother to put it on there. That's great. Roboman. All right, I gotta check that out. Sorry, I'll let you move on it.
There's the old movie, The Robot Monster.
Oh, yeah, the one, that's, Joe Dante's a huge fan of that one, I think.
Yeah, that one's awesome.
Yeah,
it pretty much looks like Bigfoot with an underwater, like, old school sea diving mask.
Yeah, it's the weirdest, most, I mean, I totally, once you see that monster, that's burned on your brain forever.
Yeah. There's this awesome RoboCop ripoff movie called Prototype X29A.
Oh, dude, I was working at a video store when that came out. I remember when that was a new release, because I think it came out in the 90s or something, right?
Yeah, I think it's definitely early 90s.
Yeah, you know what? I know, this came to mind because, do you do Netflix at all or anything like that? I guess you probably don't need to.
No, I get to so many movies, like, I'm trying.
Yeah.
I can't even... there's only two times I've actually gotten through my list of movies I haven't watched. But usually I'm just like, I constantly have a list of movies that I haven't watched yet.
Yeah, no, that totally makes sense. The only reason I brought it up is that Prototype X29A, I think, is on the Netflix Watch Instantly function right now. So people need to be I'm going to put that out in the interview here and just say people need to go check that out. Because I remember that being pretty
definitely
great. That's awesome. Good call.
Yeah, that one's great. Alien ripoffs. I love Alien ripoff films.
Yeah? What are some of your... See, I got to keep doing this. What are some of your favorites? This is all good.
Let me see. Galaxy of Terror is a good one.
Yeah.
Contamination by Luigi Cozzi.
Yeah, that's great. I like that one, too.
Creature. There's another one called Mutant, which the AKA for it is actually the one everyone knows it for, is Forbidden World.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Shout Factory just put that and Galaxy of Terror out on Blu-ray, I think, recently.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Those are great.
Those ones are awesome. I just got the one from Tumwater Video called Dead Space that looks really awesome.
Oh, that's
pretty much, if it's got a, if you look on the back cover and it's got an alien creature that looks like a direct ripoff from the Alien movies, you know, it's gonna deliver some way or another.
That's for sure. Very cool.
Okay, so what else? I got a whole bunch of Elvira movies. It's nice, like, seeing her face and her different poses when she, on Thriller Video, like, just in a row.
Yeah, no, that's very cool. I've never seen a collection of those together. That's pretty neat.
Yeah, it's cool. Let me see, what else? I've got a whole bunch of Hammer movies. And then the other big section is the monster/creature section. So obviously a lot of monster films in the horror genre. So in there I have subgenres of Creature from the Black Lagoon ripoffs, Small Things, which are elves, hobgoblins, troll, the Chucky movies, Leprechaun, Munchies, Critters, Ghoulies.
Munchies.
And I have a whole bunch of Frankenstein movies in there. And I have a section for Ray Harryhausen, like special effects monster movies.
Very cool.
And then a dinosaur section, but it's spelled D-I-N-O and then S-O-R-E.
Nice.
Because they're usually hurting people.
That's great.
Yeah, I like to use a lot of, like, I guess, like, Ebonics when I make some of these sections. Cause I have a section for, like, the body snatcher movies, but I just call it Snatches.
Nice. Yeah, that's good. That's good.
And I have a whole bunch of, like, directors, like Don Dohler, Corman, William Castle, Joe Dante, and it just goes on from there.
Nice.
And I have a shitload of, like, cannibal movies. And within those, there's, like, the racist tribal cannibal movies that everyone really thinks about, like Cannibal Holocaust and original Man from Deep River. And I have more directors, and I have Native American exploits. You know, white people like to exploit other cultures, and they definitely exploit the Native Americans in many ways, including horror movies.
Yeah, yeah.
But they end up being awesome. And let me see. I have a big section called, like, lycanthropes/werewolves, blaxploitation movies, killer/possessed cars. You'd be surprised how many of those are out there.
Can you run through some of your... Because I love that genre. The car is, like, one of my favorite movies. I have a poster in my office.
Yeah, that movie's great.
I just love that movie, absolutely. So could you run through some of the stuff maybe people haven't heard of? Because that's always one I do lists on my blog of my favorite little genre stuff, and I was going to try and do a killer car list, but I was a little stumped on some of them.
Yeah, there's one called One Deadly Owner, which Thriller Video put out.
Cool.
I think it's actually an episode from the old Hammer Horror TV series. Then there's The Hearse.
Yeah.
Obviously, the new one, Death Proof.
Yes, yes.
The car, and then I think the best car ripoff movie, which is a TV movie called The Wheels of Terror.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of that one.
One's good.
That's got a great VHS cover, if I remember.
Yeah, it does. The car looks real spooky, and there's, like, some kind of cloud that looks like a skeleton, and, like, all this like neon purple dark haze in the background.
Oh, I gotta watch that today. That's awesome.
Yeah, and there's Steven Spielberg's first movie, Duel.
Yeah, I love that one.
That one's good. Then obviously Maximum Overdrive, which got remade in the 90s as Trucks.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the skeleton driving the truck.
How is Trucks? I've never seen it. I know of it, but...
It's what it is. It's a poor man's version of Maximum Overdrive.
Okay, cool.
But if you find it for $2, it's worth it.
For sure.
And then the weirdest one is, I'm not sure if it's Australian or New Zealand. I think it's New Zealand. But it's called Dark of the Night, and it's fucking weird.
Dark of the Night? I don't know that I've heard of that.
Yeah, I hadn't heard of it either. I just ran across it and was like, oh, wow, this looks crazy.
Nice.
So, yeah, that's all of the killer cars
I have.
That's
a good section, man.
What else I got? The rape and revenge genre, which it just keeps getting... I'm surprised how many are out there. I actually had a friend who said he had a friend that just exclusively collected those, and he had like 90 of them. I was like, Jesus Christ,
wow.
I didn't know. But, yeah, what's the funniest one in there? I found one at Goodwill called Cemetery High. It's like the first rape and revenge comedy I've ever seen.
Cemetery High, great. I gotta check that out.
And then there's Victims, which is a rape and revenge movie that kind of forgot the revenge part. They try to get revenge in court, and then the judge is like, fuck you.
Oh, it becomes a courtroom drama?
Yeah, it's definitely very exploitive and nasty, but then like it ends up being a courtroom drama at the end, which has a lot of drama because they pretty much let the rapists go away free.
Oh, man.
Let's see. I have a Brian Yuzna section, J.R. Bookwalter, a whole bunch more directors. And I have a section called Voivod Was Right. That's the awesome progressive thrash band from French Canada in the 80s.
Oh, okay.
And they were all about like killing technology and how the evils of technology. So in that section I have Evil Speak, Brain Scan, Ghosts in the Machine, Chopping Mall, a.k.a. Killbots.
Yes.
And Mind Over Matter, Telepathy, a whole bunch of those kind of movies.
Nice.
Oceans of Terror, that's kind of like the Abyss and all the Abyss ripoff movies.
Oh, so it's not like Jaws or anything like that, that's a different section.
Yeah. And Deliverance ripoffs / Man Rape, which I don't even know if there's any man rape in there in those movies, but it's all kind of like ensued on, yeah, this might happen, or this is a possibility.
Yeah.
Human Oddities, that's kind of like all the Freaks and Freaks ripoff movies.
Cool.
Camp Motion Picture. Have you heard about that label back in the 80s?
I don't think so. What's that?
Oh,
like?
Man. I definitely say check out that label. They actually restarted now as a DVD label, and they put out, like, Cannibal Camp Out and Splatter Farm and stuff like
that. Oh, that's right.
But,
oh, I know this. No. I know. I think, yeah, so they put out a whole bunch of shot on VHS stuff, right?
Yeah, and in the 80s, they not only put out stuff, like they actually had their small production company. I think they started out as like a sub label of a porn industry label.
Ah, I've heard of that happening.
Yeah, and that would explain massive amounts of tits in their movies.
I see.
So yeah, like it had like Evil Spawn, Hollywood Chainsaw Hookers, Slime City,
nice.
Death Row Diner, Video Violence 1 and 2. The best part about those movies are they're shot on video, they're super gory, but like a big chunk of them takes place in a video store, and so it's awesome watching a movie where you're looking at like 80s video stores and just trying to scan the covers and being like, oh my god, what is that? I wish I was back in time and like there right now.
Yeah, no, I love that stuff, man. That takes me back, especially like I said, working in video stores for like 10 years of my life. I just...
I love it.
Yeah, it's awesome. Then I have a whole bunch of anthology movies.
Oh, those are great.
And there's like the whole like murder mystery horror genre. Most of them are like TV movies, so I just call those No Shit Sherlock. I have Evil Babies, Family, which is like the granny, mom, die, sister, die, next of kin, Stepford Wives, grandma's house. I think my favorite section as far as like what I titled it, it's got all the like silent German films from back in the day. I just called it, when I was a kid in Germany, we only had this shit.
That's awesome. Very nice.
And a giallo section, then a movie about bums and homelesses section.
It's like street trash and stuff?
Yeah, street trash, Chud 2, The Vagrant. That's just called Get a Loser, You Shit Your Fucking Pants. I mean, Get a Job, Loser, You Shit Your Fucking Pants. Then I have a big section with like the tributes and trailers and spoofs movies. I have a whole bunch of my Abbott and Costello ones in there.
Oh, cool. You like that stuff too. That's awesome.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome. Because it's not just like a comedy. Like, it's really like, has like all the franchise atmosphere of like the old Universal monster movies. And then it just has Abbott and Costello like bumbling around within it.
Yeah, I love that stuff. I love that atmosphere. I'm a pretty big Universal horror fan. What did you think of the Wolfman remake, by the way? Did you see it?
No, I seriously hate CGI, and so like especially when I see it in the trailer, I know it's just going to be tons in it, so I just won't even see it because I know, it'll just piss me off.
That's totally
like, I'll go see a movie and it'll have some CGI, and I just get so pissed, I'm like steaming, and so like I can't even enjoy the rest of the movie.
Dude, I totally hear you. I mean, I understand that kind of thing, catching you up and stuff.
Yeah,
I was just curious. Anyway, sorry, move on. I didn't mean to.
Oh, no problem, man. I have a huge Bigfoot section.
Yes.
I'm actually looking for one right now called Half Human. It's got John Carradine in it, and it's directed by Inoshiro Honda, the dude who did Godzilla.
Oh yeah, and like the Green Slime, and he did tons of stuff.
Yeah, I love that guy. But that movie goes for like $100 on Amazon.
No, wait a minute, he didn't do the Green Slime. I'm sorry, I was thinking of somebody else that did the Green Slime.
He did. What else? He did Gorath and.
He did War of the Gargantuas, didn't he?
I think so.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry. So it's a VHS and it goes for $100 on eBay?
Yeah, no, Amazon.
Amazon, sorry. Wow.
Yeah. I don't even think it was on eBay last time I looked. But yeah, so then I'm also like, I'm from Washington State, and so like there's a lot more stuff about Bigfoot here. There's a lot more research, and I kind of go out squatching, I guess you could call it.
Nice squatching, I love it.
Yeah, out in like the Olympic National Park and stuff, and so I'm really into it.
Oh, that's cool, man. That's really cool.
Yeah, and so like then I have these like divided into even more subsections. So I have like the Northwest Bigfoot and like the Legend of Boggy Creek ones, which are called like in the South, it's called like the Skunk Ape or the Swamp Ape. So I have those in a section. Then I have the Yeti / Abominable Snowman sections.
Cool.
And then Bigfoot is in the larger section called Cryptids, which also has like the Loch Ness horror, the Loch Ness monster ones. Then it's got a couple of Chupacabra films in there too.
So. Cool.
And then it goes on to like all the like heavy metal horror movies, but then there's some hard rock horror movies in there too, so I just call it the Devil's Music.
Excellent.
I have a section about like wedding horrors, like Honeymoon of Horror, The Newly Deads, I Married a Monster from Outer Space. That's just called The Knot You Tie Will Make You Die.
Well done.
And Evil Buildings and Nightmares, and I think...
Wait, what's in Evil Buildings? Just Haunted House, or...?
Obviously, yeah. More like, there's the Amityville ones in there, but then there's one called Dark Tower. There's one called Tower, which is, it's a hard one to get through. It's definitely an exercise in watching crap.
Nice.
It's a shot-on-video movie, and it's in the 80s, and it's just nothing goes on. The whole movie, they're just trying to figure out what's killing people. And then they find out at the end, and it's nothing spectacular.
Wow.
And I love slash hate how those kind of movies are like, let's not only make a boring movie, but let's actually put more production money and time into making it over 90 minutes. Which is like, really? Over 90 minutes? For a stunt with no plot.
Yeah, that's just me, as far as I'm concerned. And stupid.
But, yeah, Roger Corman kind of set the standard. He was like 90 minutes for a horror or sci-fi film.
I think it's a good mean time to to have,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's definitely like, if it's got more to the plot, like, yeah, go for it, put more than 90 minutes. But, you know, if it's a horror movie that's just, like, focusing on, like, scares or thrills or, like, atmosphere and not so much the plot, there's really no reason to go over 90 minutes.
Yeah, I agree.
So that's the entirety of my sections.
Wow, that's awesome.
Through the attic.
Thank you so much for running through those, man. That's really cool.
Yeah, no problem.
That's one of those things where I'm going to go back, and I'm sure people that listen to the interview will, you know, be writing down titles, which is what I love to get out of interviews, is a bunch of movies I've never heard of, which is great.
Yeah.
I knew that you'd have that stuff for me, so that's...
It's crazy how many are out there, because people all the time are like, dude, you must have them all, and I'm like, no. Like, you know, I have over 2,500, and some of the review books I have, you know, are like over 2,000 books. I mean, 2,000 movies in each one. And each of those books have movies each other doesn't have. And then I have movies which aren't even in any of those. And then I find out about movies which aren't in my collection or any of those or anyone else I know's collection. And it's crazy how many are out there.
So do you use the reference books a lot?
Yeah, I usually started using them just because I'm like, you know, it's fun to look through. And a lot of them, like, you look in there, and it'll be like, oh, this movie sucks, and then it's actually good.
Yeah.
But usually if they say a movie's good, it is actually good,
yeah.
But you just can't depend on if it said it sucks. And then I just got to the point where I started going through and, like, highlighting ones I don't have, and then just, like, trying to look them up on Amazon and, like, adding them to my wish list.
That's cool.
So...
I was going to say, sorry, go ahead.
There's like 600 movies that eventually someday I would like to buy on Amazon and
Wow. Slowly
chipping away at them like every paycheck.
That's cool, man. What are some of your favorite film reference books that you have?
Definitely the Scarecrow Video Movie Guide.
I got to get that. It's ridiculous I don't have that.
Yeah, it's awesome. Both of the Psychotronic Movie Guides.
Yeah, those are great.
Michael J. Weldon. And then, obviously, the new one, Destroy All Movies.
Yeah, that's such a great book.
Yeah, that book is hilarious. It's so good in every way. Yeah, I have a few more, but like those are like the main ones.
Okay, cool. Very cool. You mentioned Scarecrow. Did you used to have a section there, or do you still have a section there?
I used to have a section there. My friend Tommy actually put it up. He worked there.
What kind of movies were in your section?
Well, it was weird. It was like a rotating section. It was really cool. He made this like little altar and actually said like the altar at Dormart's Horror Review and had like an anagram and like two inverted crosses and like all these like fake like stones. And then they just put a movie in there that I reviewed like once every week or 2 weeks, and then that movie would be cheaper to rent than everything else in the Psychotronic room that they had.
Oh, they had a whole Psychotronic room?
Yeah, you definitely need to check out Scarecrow Video. The Psychotronic room is pretty much, you know, horror, sci-fi, fantasy, and it's huge and has stuff that you can't see anywhere else. And then, like, that doesn't even include, like, all the horror movies, because then they have so many more in, like, all the director movies, like, downstairs in the director sections.
Yeah, I gotta check it out. I love that. It sounds just amazing, you know? It sounds like a...
Oh, yeah. My 21st birthday, I actually went up there for my birthday, because it was, like, that year I heard about the place from a friend who was going to school at the University of Washington, and was just like, holy shit, I gotta check this place out. So my friend and I drove up there, and like we spent like 3 hours just looking through the movies and bought a whole bunch of shit. And it still was like one of my best birthdays ever. I'm just like, oh my god, the first time I went there.
That sounds like a great birthday. Like, I would just flip for that, man. I could totally do that. I could spend at least 3 hours in a place like that, too. That'd be fantastic.
Oh, yeah, it's...
Yeah, I gotta get out there. If I'm ever in that area.
I was there yesterday.
Oh, you were there?
I went up to the Seattle area for some union business I was doing, and it's like, I can't come up here without stopping in there. So, yeah, you walk in, and it's just this two-story place, and I'm like... both sides of the walls, upstairs, are rails, and like just different rooms going off of all the walls. And there's just tons of movies everywhere. They actually have over 100,000 movies. I know they're the largest in the United States, and I'm pretty sure they're the largest in the world.
Yeah, I get it.
They don't really like to compare themselves to other people or think they're better, but. They are.
I don't think you can really argue with 100,000 movies. That's just
and it keeps growing. Like I got to know the inventory manager Kevin pretty well. He's friends with my friend Zach, and he was like, "Hey man, like write down a list of all your movies, and we'll cross reference them and try to get ones we don't have." I was like, "Dude, that's a daunting task." So. He just had me write down, like, ones that I think are pretty rare, and they cross-represent and bought a few. So, like, their mission is really to pretty much get everything out there.
Oh, wow.
So I'll even, like, email him and being like, dude, this new, like, Sasquatch documentary out of Washington came out. And next time I go up there, like, it's in the new release. I'm in their new purchase section. I'm like,
so cool.
Damn, they actually got it.
So you're, like, a consultant for them. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's very cool.
So are they still seeking out VHS, like, movies that they don't have, if they can get them?
Yeah, he actually sent me a list of recently acquired VHS, and it's like 60 movies.
Oh, wow.
They pretty much, yeah, if it's not on DVD, they'll buy it on VHS.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, they're really, like, they're trying to, like, plug in every hole that they have of movies they don't have. And so they'll do it, like, them and Vulcan Video in Austin are, like, the only ones I know that add VHS to their inventory.
That's really cool. So, and Vulcan's the one that sponsors Terror Tuesday, right?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And my friend Brian, who was one of the authors of Destroy All Movies,
Brian Connolly?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool, yeah.
So he's actually the culprit behind plugging in VHS into their inventory.
That's really cool.
Which I hail. Like, that's amazing.
I do, too. I think it's a really neat thing that it's... VHS is sort of making this comeback. I mean, not that it ever really went away, but it seems that they're... I think Lars Nilsson put out an article on his Facebook or something about...
Yeah.
What, VHS is the new vinyl or something like that.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting. Like I've always loved VHS. Like, I'm definitely not opposed to DVD, but as far as, like, for me, it's like... I'd rather kind of watch a scratchy movie on VHS that's a horror movie just because it's more like going to the drive-in or watching it in an old grindhouse. It's, you know, this genre is supposed to be kind of dark and mysterious.
Yeah, no, I agree.
But on top of that, it's like, unless I really care about some extras, like, you save a lot more money on VHS. And it's a lot more nostalgic. It's more like of a treasure hunt to try to find them.
Yeah.
My friends and I would, every year we'd make this pilgrimage from Spanaway, Washington, up to Tacoma, Washington. And there's just like this strip of like seedy pawn shops and military like surplus stores and mom and pop video stores and thrift stores. And we used to call it Miracle Mile because like it was like this, it's like this 10-mile strip. And every year we'd go, we'd get like over 30 movies. It's just fantastic.
That's really cool. I was gonna say, do you collect any DVD? Do you have some DVD?
Yeah, I definitely have a fair amount of DVD. I'd say it's about 5-10% of my collection.
Gotcha.
But yeah, for DVDs, it's mostly like newer movies, not so much new movies, but like movies that were coming out when DVD was forming, and, or a movie that like it's super hard to find on VHS, or just, you know, I'll find a cheap DVD where I'm like, dude, I can't pass this up. Like, I'm not a retard. I'm not going to be like, oh, the quality of DVD is worse. Like, of course, like, the picture's better, but I really don't care about that too much.
No, I totally understand. Yeah. I totally understand what you're saying. You had said that in that Scarecrow video section, they put up a movie that you reviewed. Now, is that in your zine reviews?
Yeah.
When did you start? Can you explain your zine, what it's called, where how it originated?
My zine is called Dormarth's Horror Review, and I actually changed the title. Every year I put a new one out. Like, it'll be, one year it'll be like The Terror of Dormarth's Horror Review, and then The Ghosting of Dormarth's Horror Review, kind of like that. It's kind of like a play on words as far as like the sequels and the genre goes. I started it back in 2002 because I got sick of, you know, watching all these awesome movies, for one, and all you hear about from people when they talk about underground horror, you just hear about, like, the hits. They're like, oh, you gotta see Argento, you gotta see Fulci. Like, obviously that shit's awesome, but, like, there's so much more out there, and that seems to be, like, the only thing people are talking about. And then, like I was talking about before, I'd read these huge reference books, and most people are just like, you know, you read about the author and they're like, oh, they love this shit, like, this is their life, but yet all these movies they review and they're just like, this was bad, this was badly acted, like, and you're just like, how can you love these movies but yet like hate on most of them? Yeah. like horror movies are in the B genre primarily, and they're not made by like huge companies that really know what they're doing. They're made from the heart by people who love doing it. And stylistically, they might not be like the best thing ever, but you can just feel the heart in them. And so I really got sick of that. And the only people like I actually look up to and respect as far as those books go are Michael J. Welding.
Yeah.
And Joe Bob Briggs. So I was like, fuck it, I just need to do my own thing. So I put out my first issue in, I think, the summer of 2002. And I put about two out a year. But for the past couple of years, it's just been one a year.
That's cool.
It's all, like, homemade. The whole thing's done on MS Paint. And I just, you know, take it to Kinko's, print it off, and hand them out. In Olympia, and I dropped some off in Seattle, and some in Portland and Tacoma. And I start, once my friend Zach moved out to Austin, started sending him a whole bunch out there. So
awesome, man! So if people want to subscribe, how do they do that?
I guess email me.
Yeah.
Dormarth_houseofhorror@hotmail.com. I know you have my email.
I do.
Post it up or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. We'll try and post it in the show notes so that people can see it. I mean, are you still taking subscribers and everything to the zine?
Yeah, I definitely, like, there's only a few people that ever, like, are like, hey, I heard about this, can I get some? So, I wouldn't call them subscribers, just people who are like, oh, dude, can I have one? So, yeah, I'm definitely taking them. I'm definitely not out to get, make money on this shit, because just recently I started, in the past few issues, I had a couple sponsors, and that, you know, that doesn't even cover all my printing costs, but I do it because it's my passion, so I don't really care, so.
No, it's a great zine, man. I really dig it. I'm definitely a total convert, and I look forward to each new issue you put out.
Oh, thanks, man.
And how many issues do you have total now?
13.
And are all those available, or no? Like,
I have all the originals that are just like the paper, like pasted on the cardboard that you print off at Kinko. So I actually can go back and make copies of every issue I have.
And how much? I know you got to charge a little bit for the back issues. How much are those?
I think it's like $4 or $5, pretty much a little bit over shipping and the cost of making it. it. So.
Perfect. Cool. Yeah, because I think everybody should get as many of them as they can, because I really dig them. I was going to say, can you go through some of the people you've interviewed?
Oh, yeah. Just a second. They're written down here. I interviewed George Stover. He's been an actor in John Waters movies, and he's like the main man in all the Don Dohler films.
Oh, yeah.
I interviewed Herschel Gordon Lewis, which was I can die a happy man.
That's great.
The fact that, like, you know, this director that I've always looked up to, like, has just agreed to do this shitty, like, cut and paste scene interview. And he was really cool about it. Like, I pretty much just emailed him, and he was like, okay, cool. So then I emailed him questions, and he emailed me back, and he was super funny. Like, he was dogging on religion and just saying fucking super awesome shit everywhere in that interview. He was funny, and, like, he was funny and very heartfelt about everything and very genuine. Interviewed John Polonia. Have you heard about the Polonia brother twins?
I don't think so.
They originally did Splatter Farm in 87.
Okay, there we go. Yeah, and then, okay, yeah. Yeah. Zach told me about these guys, I think.
Yeah, and then they just kept going. Yeah, John Polonia was awesome. I talked about his brother, because his twin brother recently died. But he's kind of carrying on the flame and continuing with it.
Cool.
And my last one, I interviewed J.R. Bookwalter, the director of The Dead Next Door, who also, like, had his own video label and still has it, Tempe Video.
Cool.
Yeah, that's who I've interviewed so far, and it's been awesome.
Are there stuff you'd like to get, people you'd like to talk to? I'm sure there's probably a long list.
Yeah, for years I've actually been trying to interview one of the Carradines, not to interview them, but to pretty much do an interview about their dad through them.
Yeah.
And obviously we lost another Carradine, so yeah. My chances go down a little.
Yeah.
I have a big list of dead people I would have loved to interview.
Well, this kind of goes along with, I have a question about if you could have lunch with any actor or director not living. Well, who's on your list of, you know, people that aren't with us that you'd love to have interviewed?
Definitely John Carradine, Vincent Price, Darren McGavin.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You're a big Polchak fan, I'm guessing.
Oh, yeah. That's so good.
Yeah.
Faye Ray.
Oh, yeah.
She's kind of like the first Scream Queen. Like, Barbara Steele is like the ultimate, like, Scream Queen one. The first is like when they actually, like, came up with the label Scream Queen, but Faye Ray was doing it, like, way before her.
Yeah, like 30 years or something.
Yeah. I'd love to have interviewed Don Dohler.
Yeah.
Al Adamson. I know Shiro Honda. Armando De Osorio. But people still alive. I'm definitely into, like, the whole shot-on-video, like, do-it-yourself kind of thing. So I'd like to interview Tim Ritter, Donald Farmer, Burt I. Gordon.
What are some Tim Ritter, Donald Farmer films people should check out?
Let's see. Definitely Killing Spree for Tim Ritter.
I think that's on DVD, even. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Truth or Dare, Creep, Wicked Games, all of this stuff's awesome.
Cool.
And Donald Farmer did, I'm trying to get this one called Demon Queen, which he did. That one looks super awesome.
Cool.
I'm trying to think of some other Donald Farmer stuff. It's so funny, because, like, over time, like, my brain has just got so crammed with stuff. Like, even stuff I know, like, I can, like, picture the cover and everything that goes on in the movie. I'm just like, what the hell is the name of that one?
No, I have the same thing, man. I'm totally with you.
Okay, yeah, Cannibal Hookers. That's another one Donald Farmer did.
That's a great title.
Yeah, it's got a great cover, too. It's under the I Will Dance on Your Grave film series. And for for those covers, they just got, you know, a half-naked woman with some blood and ripped-up clothes holding a different type of weapon.
Yeah.
And so that film series is awesome as far as the covers goes, and usually the quality of the movies, it's really usually sleazy, trashy, like violent, gory, like 80s shot-on-video epics.
Very nice. Sorry, you had one or two more interviews that you were looking for from people.
Yeah. It'd be nice to interview Michelle Bauer. She's probably my favorite scream queen.
All right.
Ken Wiederhorn.
Yes.
I don't know if I'm pronouncing him right. But
I think so. I like his stuff. I like Eyes of a Stranger.
Yeah, and Shockwaves. He also did Return of the Living Dead 2.
Yeah.
Then he did Freddy's Nightmares TV episode.
Cool. Well, that's cool. That's a good group. That's some really neat people. I like that list. I was going to say, let's see, I'm going to jump around here a little bit. I had one question about, you know, you've kind of covered this a little bit, but do you have like a Holy Grail VHS, like the ultimate, you know? I'm sure the list is really long, but is there anything that stands out?
Yeah, there's definitely ones I've slowly acquired. I've been looking for Satanic Attraction forever, and I finally purchased it.
Thanks to my
tax return. We're a little crazy with that tax return, but that's fine. So I finally got Satanic Attraction, and I got this movie Abomination coming in the mail.
Oh, Abomination! I've seen clips of that on YouTube.
Yeah, and what was funny, like, I've always wanted to see it. My friend Zach has it, but I didn't want to watch his copy when I was visiting him, because I'm like, dude, let's rent the one from I Love Video, so then I don't, you know, damage your copy a little bit. So I rented it, and then I ended up buying it online recently with my tax return, only to look and find out the seller was I Love Video, so it's probably the same copy that I watched, which is kind of cool.
That is cool. That's too bad they're selling it off, but, you know.
Yeah, but what's funny is I spent all this money on it. I'm not going to go into how much I spent because it's kind of ridiculous. Okay. And then yesterday my friend emailed me and he's like, dude, they're putting Abomination on DVD.
Oh.
So I'm like, I wouldn't have gotten the DVD because it's like a shot-on-video movie needs to be seen on video.
Yeah.
But the price would probably be cheaper now because it's in print. So I'm like, oops.
Yeah, I'm sure people are going to start dumping their VHSs now. That's too bad.
Yeah, So let me go through that list of Holy Grails. So there's definitely Black Devil Doll from Hell.
I think that's... I've never seen a VHS of it, now I'm thinking of it. That's supposed to come
Yeah, which was
DVD.
Super rare in the first place, and then they came out with the Black Devil Doll kind of remake, but it's not really a remake, it's a piece of shit.
Yeah, I was going to say, I haven't seen it, but it looks like shit to me.
Yeah. And so they came out with that, so now the VHS of this is even more rare. Like, if you do see it on Amazon, it's like $1,000.
Oh,
and that's if you even do see it on Amazon.
Wow.
Which is funny, because I had a friend who found it in Goodwill for like $1, and he's been looking for it forever.
Oh.
It's actually Zach, which is funny, because before he found it, Lars found it for like about the same price, and he was like, oh my god, how did you find this? Like, you're so lucky. And then he turned around in the same town and found it for like $1.02.
Oh my god.
I don't know how that happened. There's probably like 10 copies floating around. And they, luckily, two people who actually admire it and actually deserve to have it got it in their hands, who will cherish it. And, you know, it won't end up in a fucking estate sale somewhere.
No way. Yeah, those guys. Yeah, that's cool.
So, yeah, then I talked about Don Farmer's Demon Queen. I'm trying to get that one.
Yeah.
There's Albino, the Possessed, Half Human I talked about earlier.
Yeah.
Nocturna, it's like a 1979 disco vampire movie.
Yeah, I've seen that one. That's it's an interesting movie. It's got a great opening sequence, for sure.
It looks awesome.
Yeah.
The Spectre of Edgar Allan Poe is another one I've been looking for forever. Tales from a Quad Dead Zone.
Oh, yeah. Now, I think the DVD of that's supposed to come out for Black Devil Doll from Hell is going to have Quadet on it.
Yeah, because it's the same director, Chester Novel Turner. But the one I've been looking for over 10 years is Screams of a Winter's Night.
Oh, I think Tarantino played this movie. Here at we have a repertory theater called the New Beverly, and that's where Zach and Lars played their draft house stuff.
Yeah, that theater's awesome.
It's amazing. Yeah, it's great. And Tarantino's actually running a Grindhouse Festival right now. But I swear that he ran that several years ago, part of a horror triple night or something. Yeah, yeah, I remember that now. Yeah. So you've been looking for that VHS forever.
Yeah, I think it's a... I'm not sure if it's a college student movie or college kids made it, but it's an anthology movie, like a regional one. I think it's either the South or the Midwest.
Yeah.
So, not only, like, it looks awesome, the cover's awesome. I've actually heard a couple bad people who've watched it, and they're like, that's not so great, but it's beyond that for me. And then I found out it's got some dude in it called the Mothman, which is pretty much like a Sasquatch, but has some moss or something. So then I got even more interested in it, so I've been trying to find that one forever.
That's great, man. Cool. Well, that's a great list, man. That's really cool. Do you have a favorite, like, totally under-the-radar horror film, like, or a couple that people ask you? I mean, that's a really broad question, but, you know.
Oh, yeah, there's tons. Yeah. I was going through them last night trying to figure out ones that are just like, oh, my God, yeah, this one's great. Some of them are under the radar as far as, like, no one talks about them. Then there's some that, like, some people do talk about them, but they're still super underground. There's this movie called Premutos, Lord of the Living Dead. It's by Olaf Inbach. Anything Olaf Inbach does is super awesome.
Cool.
He's this German director. And so that movie, I don't know if it's been surpassed, but at the time had, like, the highest, like, zombie kills in any movie. Like, there's actually, like, 10 minutes of it where all they're doing is killing zombies.
10 minutes, wow.
Yeah, and, like, at the end of the movie, there's a body count where it does, like, the whole, like, the sound of, like, a machine gun going off while the count rises with it. And I think it's over 200. But that movie is just, like, it's got awesome effects in it. It's super, like, just exuberant and extravagant, and it's also dubbed, but it's kind of dubbed like how Zombie 90 is dubbed, where it's almost like they just randomly gave it to your average Joe and said, like, freaking put some shit on this. So, like, what they're saying is definitely not what's going on, but it's really funny. And so it's got everything in it, pretty much.
Very cool.
That one I definitely recommend checking out, Premutos.
That's Lord a great
Dead. Yeah, he also did The Burning Moon, which is really good.
That's another one. I think Evan Husney, this guy I interviewed, he works for Severn Films. He made a, like, underrated horror list for my blog last year, and I think he put... I think it was The Abomination and that movie were both on his list.
Yeah, that one's great. I'm going to put Blood Cult on this list. A lot of people are like, that's not a good movie, but for me, it's like, it was shot on video, and it was like a slasher and a satanic movie.
Wow.
And it was, I have a place in my heart for movies in Ohio, especially Ohio in general. Tourist Trap is another one that's definitely underrated.
Yeah.
And no one really talks about The Beast of Yellow Night, which is an old movie.
Well, I don't know that one.
Yeah, The Beast of Yellow Night. Let me see. I'm trying to remember who's in it. I think, the copy I have, like, John Carradine does an introduction to it.
Oh, that's cool.
But it's, yeah, Eddie Romero.
Oh, very cool, very cool. I love Eddie Romero.
Yeah, so that's
I gotta check that
one
out
of my favorites he's ever done. The Deadly Spawn, a.k.a. Return of the Aliens, Deadly Spawn.
That's a great
Actually, I went down to this ocean town called Ocean Shores we have in Washington. And they had an old video rental place. And they had a big box of Return of the Aliens Deadly Spawn there forever. And it was by this movie called Alien Prey. And they're like the coolest looking boxes ever. And I was like, can I please buy these? And she was like, let me look them up. And she looked them up, and she's like, and she looked at me like, oh, you're not going to like this news. And she's like, they're going to be $5 each. And I was like, okay, yeah, I'll buy them. But, like, it was hilarious. Like, now some people have seen Splatter Farm. It's an awesome movie. I will say it's one of my top 10.
Ooh.
But the thing is, Splatter Farm on DVD, which got put out, actually, the Pony Brothers cut out a couple of scenes. And they cut out a couple of good scenes. Like, I think there's actually a rape scene where the grandmother drugs one of the Polonia brothers and rapes him.
Oh my gosh.
And I think there's a knife shitting scene or something like that. That's not in the movie. Anyways, there's like three scenes that aren't in Splatter Farm. If you've seen Splatter Farm on DVD already, that you're like, holy shit, this movie's fucking crazy. And then it's like, no, it gets even crazier. So if you can seek out the VHS, like, it's beyond anything else out there.
Alright, cool.
There's this movie called Curse of the Screaming Dead. I think it's also like AKA is something about cannibal confederates. It's by this guy Tony Malinowski. He also did Night of Horror, which is really awesome.
Cool.
I really like the Incubus, not the William Shatner one, but the other one by John Ho.
Cool.
Black Magic Terror, I talked about that one. They're just awesome. I'm pretty sure it's a made-for-TV movie called High Desert Kill. It's really creepy and paranoid.
What is that? High Desert Kill? What's that like?
It's about these friends who, they used to go hunting together, and, like, one of their friends recently died, so they kind of go, the rest of them go out on this hunting trip, kind of to memorialize their friend. It's got Chuck Connors in it.
Oh, cool.
And it's cool because it's shot out in, like, the Badlands of New Mexico. So it's really atmospheric. And then, like, they go out there and there's no game and all this weird shit starts happening. It turns out, like, there's some alien presence that you never really see the alien, but it starts controlling their minds and just making them do all this weird stuff. And it's just really creepy. Like, it actually had me on the edge of my seat a little bit, and that usually doesn't happen. I'm desensitized.
I like that. That sounds good, man. I guess I gotta track that down.
Yeah, it's awesome. Fear No Evil. That one, let me see, the same guy did The Lady in White.
Oh, that's, I think Anchor Bay put that out on DVD.
Yeah, I think they did, so.
That's cool, yeah.
Definitely say check out Fear No Evil.
I think Zach has shown that at Terror Tuesday within the last year, even. Very cool.
There's this, yeah, I would have loved to seen that on 35mm.
Yeah, same here.
There's this really awesome, I think it's shot on video, either that or 16mm. Movie called Bloodbath and Psychotown. It's really well done and really atmospheric. Like, there's really no bloodbath. It's really like a kind of a ghost story. But it's really awesome. I've watched that a few times.
That's another catchy title. I like that.
Then The Satanic Attraction and Ritual of Death. They're both by this dude from Brazil. What's his name? Fozzy Mansour. I'm not sure if I'm saying it right. But both of those movies are just, like, super trippy and drugged out and, like, satanic and gory. And it's like nothing you've ever seen. And what's fun about Satanic Attraction, you could tell he shot it over a good chunk of time because there's a woman who is barely pregnant. And by the end of the movie, she is super pregnant. But yet, the movie is supposed to span, like, 3 days. So, I don't know, maybe there's some kind of satanic attraction to growing babies super fast or something. There's this movie called Spellbinder. That one.
Oh, is that with, who's the chick in that? It's, Kelly Preston?
Let me see. Yeah.
Yeah, that's on Netflix Instant Watch right now, too. I actually caught a little bit of this one about a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah, I was digging it, man. I got kind of a crush on Kelly Preston, so it's kind of hard not to.
The old movie at the Ghoul with Boris Karloff.
Oh, good call, yeah.
Yeah, that one's really good. The Regenerated Man. Anything Don Dohler has done. Like, he's so underrated.
Yeah.
Welcome to Arrow Beach. That's just really obscure, like a cannibal movie.
I don't know that one.
That one's good. Beyond Dreams Door. It's really out there, but really awesome. So those are definitely under the radar ones people should check out.
No, that's a great list, man. You had mentioned that Chuck Connors TV movie. Do you have some other TV movies that you dig?
Yeah. Definitely Night of the Strangler, the Kolchak Night Stalker one.
Yeah.
It's also shot in Seattle, Washington.
Oh, cool.
And they go into the underground Seattle. It's like this whole section of Seattle that was like old and like built underground, and then something about the tides rising or something, but I don't really know. But yeah, a lot of it's shot in there.
Oh, cool.
Don't Be Afraid of the Dark. That's kind of one of everyone's favorite TV movies.
It's a great movie. It's still creepy as hell. I love it.
Yeah, The Munster's Revenge. That one's awesome.
Never seen that? That sounds great.
The Devil Dog Hound of Hell. That movie's crazy.
Has that got the chick from Escape to Witch Mountain, Kim Richards?
Let me see.
I think it's Kim Richards. I like her a lot. She's in Tough Turf. Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, I gotta check that one out. I love killer animals attack movies. Is one of my favorite genres.
Yeah, and what's crazy about that movie, it's also like, well, obviously in the title, Devil Dog Hell from Hell, but like, yeah, somehow they like mixed Satanism in with it too.
Wow.
And but it's like the dog is kind of Satan himself. It's really weird. But it's really cool.
Yeah, I gotta. It's been too much time. I gotta see it.
Yeah, definitely check that one out. What else do I have on here? Definitely like the Night Gallery movie.
Oh, did they do a movie?
Yeah, I think they did the movie before they did the series.
Oh, that's
as far
cool.
As my recollection goes.
Very cool. I gotta see that.
And then there's two movies I'm just gonna put on the list, even though I haven't seen them.
Okay.
Just because they look awesome. There's a movie called The Night Dracula Saved the World.
Cool.
I think it's also called The Halloween That Almost Wasn't.
Oh, I've heard of that. Somehow I've heard that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've been trying to find that one for a while. I found it on Amazon, but it goes for a bunch. And then, Don't Go to Sleep.
Oh, that's with, Dennis Weaver. And Charlie Parker, I think. Yeah. No, it's like, yeah. I think I've seen that's a good one. That's a good pick, man. I think I've seen that one.
Yeah, I've been wanting to check that one out. It looks really good. And any review I've ever read about it, people are just like, oh my god, I remember seeing this when I was a kid, and it scared the shit out of me.
Yeah, I remember I was looking up like, you know, best TV made for TV horror movies or whatever, and that one just kept coming up online. That's really cool. Good call.
Yeah, they're cool. The cool thing about TV horror movies, obviously, since they can't be too extravagant, like, it really forces the writers and directors to, like, to really come up with some good stuff as far as, like, scaring people or just being creepy, and, like, they've done it on a few of these, like, really well.
Yeah, I agree. I kind of miss that. I feel like there's a certain laziness with CG these days and whatnot. I can't blame it all on that, but it just doesn't feel like people are as creative, you know, as they
yeah.
are, you know?
Yeah, it's definitely, like, I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that there's not mom-and-pop video stores anymore, mm-hmm. So there's, like, less of a market to, like, put your stuff out on.
Yeah.
Because before, they're like, okay, I can make something that'll at least play at a drive-in or a grindhouse, or, you know, I can sell to all these video stores. So now it's just, like, the only outlet they can make is by being like, okay, this has to make money. So they have to either cut corners or just throw in a whole bunch of shit that they know the mainstream population will be into.
Yeah, I mean, I'm hoping with stuff like the instant streaming that, you know, a company like Netflix could maybe hook up with some low-budget producers and they can, you know, do some interesting stuff. I don't know that it'll ever be as good as, you know, some of the stuff we're talking about, but...
yeah, hopefully something comes out of all that stuff. Cause
I agree.
At least, you know, if something good came up out of half this new shit, it'd be great.
I was going to say, what are some films that you watched maybe when you were younger that were... you kind of mentioned this earlier, like maybe the stuff that you watched with your band on those nights. Were those the formative movies that made you into like the fan that you are now of movies?
Somewhat. I think what really did it for me, when I met my best friend Sean when we were like in third grade, and the first time I spent the night at his house, we ended up watching The Terminator and Cyborg, and I got. Both of us, after watching The Terminator, got super hooked on it, and for like 2 years, that's all we did was watch it. And we'd like get the Arnold Schwarzenegger glasses and go be around on the playground, like just acting like we were robots and like getting shot, and everyone fucking would look at us like, "What the fuck is your problem?" And we didn't give a shit because we were like in our own little world. Which is funny because that was like. A year before Terminator 2 came out, and so like no one in my generation who was like 10 at the time even knew about Terminator.
That's crazy.
We didn't even know Terminator 2 was in the making, and all of a sudden, you know, we're watching this movie. I think it was like 1990-91, and we were watching Terminator, and so we're watching this movie from 1984. You know, and all of a sudden, they're like, Terminator 2, and we're shitting our pants. We're like, they're really making a sequel to our favorite movie that came out in, like, 84? So I just remember his mom called us up, and we're like, if you guys clean the house, I'll take you guys to see Terminator 2.
Awesome.
So we cleaned that house so fast, and, like, it was so spick and span, and she got us some Wendy's, too. Like, we were having the time of our lives.
That sounds fucking sweet, man.
So, yeah, that and when I was like, 8, I watched Night of the Living Dead for the first time, and it fucking freaked me out. And I was like, Mommy, can I sleep in your room? So I was, like, in a sleeping bag next to my parents' bed.
Yeah.
And, like, then I really got into, like, Aliens when I was about 11. And so, like... Yeah, so those three movies, like, really started it for me. And then when I first started collecting, I really got into, like, the whole Dead series, Night of the Living Dead, Dawn of the Dead. And then Deranged.
Oh, yeah.
That movie is amazing. what else? I really got into Dr. Fibes. Equinox, The Legend of Boggy Creek, Burning Moon, Dracula, Prince of Darkness. It's like, I definitely varied up, like, I'd have classics in there. It seems like when people ask me, like, what are your top 10, like, it always goes back to the movies that I really discovered when I first started getting into this. It's really hard to top those ones.
Now, do you have your top 10 handy? Is that, do you know, or is it changed a lot?
There's a lot, but definitely Deranged, Dawn of the Dead, Night of the Dead, Shockwaves. I really like this movie called Burial Ground.
Oh, nice.
I'm trying to remember what its AKA is, but that's the movie where it's got like the man child that bites off his mom's breast at the end. I can't really think of all the top 10.
No, that's cool. That's cool. I didn't mean to put you
in my head. But I'd say definitely Satanic Attraction and The Ritual of Death are in there now.
Wow, very cool. Do you have this is the last one I'll ask you, but do you have a film that you love that everybody hates?
Or maybe there's actually quite a few as far as like the movie Spookies. I'm like, you can't go wrong with it. There's like three directors. It's everywhere. They have like. Almost every type of monster in there. The atmosphere is awesome. They have farting mummies. But, like, all my friends that I respect, they're always like, dude, are you serious? Like, no, not Spookies.
I've never seen that. I love it. It sounds great.
Yeah, Spookies is awesome. There's this shot on video, Native American exploit movie called Savage Harvest. And I played it at my 2000 movie party, and like everyone's just like, "Why the fuck did you play that?" And I'm just like, "Dude, that's awesome! Come on, dude!" sometimes, I'm not going to say everyone's like this, but, like, sometimes people get so underground thinking they won't admit if something new and huge came out as good.
Yeah.
But I saw The Descent in the theater, and it fucking scared the shit out of me. I don't know if it's because I'm claustrophobic about caves on top of it, but, like, I was like, dude, it's mostly no CGI. Like, it's a great monster movie.
I think it's one of the best horror movies in the past decade. I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, but everyone I talked to is really into The Descent. It's just like, no, fuck that movie, man.
That's too bad, man. I know some people that are huge fans, and then maybe some that don't talk about it, but I'm totally with you on that one. That one. You know what? Here's the thing. I showed it to my wife. My wife likes horror movies a lot, and I think I built it up too much.
Yeah.
So she was like, really? She's like, that? You know, she like didn't. We have this ongoing sort of argument about it, where I'm just like, we got to rewatch it because it's fucking great. I love it. She wasn't so hot on it the first time she saw it.
Yeah. There's a lot of my close friends who actually do like The Blair Witch. I like it too, but there's also a lot of people that hate on it.
Yeah.
I think it also has to do with when I saw it. It was when it first came out, and people were like, oh, I didn't know what it was about, but all I knew was people were like, in the newspapers, like, oh, it's a true occurrence that they got on video. And so I watched it, and I was scared shitless, and then realized at the end, oh, it's not real. But still, I was scared. But then when I left the movie theater, it was like thundering and lightning, and it was just pouring down rain. I was taking my friend home, and I crossed this bridge, and take in mind, it's like 10, 11 at night. And for some reason, this big jock, tough guy, like, jumped out from under the bridge. I don't know if he was swimming or something, and so he just had his pants on and no shirt, and so all of a sudden there's this huge man jumping out of the water behind the bridge while it's like thundering and lightning, and I freaked out. I think I screamed and like grabbed my steering wheel like really hard. I almost ripped it off, I swear.
That would have fucking freaked the shit out of me.
Yeah, so that kind of added to my suspense with the movie, so that definitely has a place in my heart.
That's pretty cool. Oh, that's cool, man. That's cool. I should probably cut it short here, but Paul, I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to me.
Yeah, no problem.
This has been great, and it's going to give me, you know, months and months of movies to try and track down and watch, which is, you know, one of my ideal things when I do an interview is to get some recommendations, and you delivered, man, so I really appreciate it.
All right, cool. Yeah, I appreciate the interview. I think the best thing about me, like, doing the zine and getting into this stuff is, like, you know, I've met so many people from doing the zine, and, like, a huge chunk of, like, my best friends I've met because of doing a zine and, like, meeting them through talking about horror movies, and so.
Yeah, I love it, man. I love that community that sort of, we have, like, this community of people that listen to the show, and it's just such a great thing to connect with these people that you would never otherwise know except for your love.
Yeah.
You know, movies.
Yeah, it's awesome. So, like, it's, I love it. And yeah. Yeah, I appreciate the interview.
No, my pleasure, man. My pleasure. And everybody should check out your zine, and like I said, we'll try and put the email in there, so hopefully you get some people hitting you up for, when's the next issue due out?
In November.
Very cool.
I usually kind of try to coincide it with All Freaking Night, which happens in Olympia, Washington. They play horror movies from like 12 midnight to like 8 or 9 in the morning.
Very cool. So you have your issues usually done by then, and you put them out there and everything?
Yeah. So usually every November.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, thanks again, Paul.
Yeah, man.
I will be in touch. Thank you, man.
All right. Thanks a lot, man.
Okay.
Thanks for listening. You can find The Gentleman at ggtmc.com. You can call The Gentleman at 206-666-5207. And you can email The Gentleman at midnightcinema@gmail.com.